Hallelujah. Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today, for this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We're ready for your word. We pray now, God, that you'll bless our time in your word, that everything that we do and everything that we say will bring glory and honor to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was the 2015 Pepsi Invitational. The race was the steeplechase. Oregon senior Tanjay Pepiot ran much of the race from the middle of the pack. He stays close to the leaders, and as he clears the final hurdle with about 500 meters left, he takes off. He is running his race and takes a lead that is thought by many to be insurmountable. He's coming down the home stretch, celebrating what he knew was a sure victory. I want you to watch this video and see what happens.
Take my word for it, there's a moral to this story.
Yeah, it looked like a coronation for Tanjay Pepiot. He's getting the crowd. He wants the crowd to cheer his performance. And at the end, he gets pipped. He gets pipped by Maren Simon of Washington. And you just can't do this kind of stuff, Lewis.
You can, and you know, you see his face. And you know, no one has to say anything. They don't have to explain it to him. He'll never make that mistake again.
So Tanjay Pepiot, he's running, and he hears the crowd cheering. And he thinks they're cheering for him. And he's motioning to him. You saw him. He's motioning, trying to get everybody hyped up, because he just knows he's going to win this race. I watched an interview that he did afterwards, and he was like, man, I was sure I was winning. I didn't think there was anybody that could catch me. And Maren Simon, the runner from Washington, said that as he was running and he was gaining on him, he said, I don't think he knows I'm coming. Here's what we know. Tanjay Pepiot didn't lose the race because he didn't start well. He didn't lose the race because he began to fade in the middle of the race. He lost the race because he lost his focus. And he wasn't determined to finish as strong as he started. My brothers and my sisters, somebody listening in here today, you need to remember that you are running a Christian race. And too many times in life, we start off real strong with the Lord. We are going to give our best to the Lord. God is calling us to do something marvelous for him. And we get to running our race, but here come some trials. Here come some tribulations. Here comes some conceit and overconfidence. And now we get to a place where we're not running as well as we should. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, if you look at your outline, says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. See, the question is not will you run, but how well you will run your race. Will you run your race until your race is completed? Do you have a faith that remains focused so you can survive the difficult times and challenging situations that will come your way? Do you have a faith that will keep you going on when you feel like giving up? All right. Today, my brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you to think about how you're going to run your race. I want to talk to you for a few moments from the thought, how to stay faithful until you finish. How to stay faithful until you finish. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Those of you who are watching wherever you are, you can download the Good Hope app and find a fill-in-the-blank outline there, or go to our website, goodhope.org. In our text today, David is making his way to Jerusalem. We're continuing our walk through 2 Samuel chapter 6. While the journey didn't start well, you remember Uzzah reached out, touched the ark, assumed his hand was cleaner than the ground, and the Bible says he died. David was both angry with God and began to fear God, left the ark at Obed-Edom's house, and the text says that Obed-Edom's house was blessed for 90 days that the ark was in their presence. David now heads back. He goes to retrieve the ark, but this time he follows God's instructions instead of going with his simple intentions. I told you on last week that we need to learn how to give God on the way worship, because the text says after they took six steps, they stopped and offered a sacrifice to God. Here's what I need you to see today. If worship was a good way to start the journey, you've got to learn that worship is the best way to finish the journey. David needed encouragement from the Lord. And this was not fanfare. This was not emotionalism. This was a genuine desire to find strength in worshiping the Lord. And so David now has started this journey. But how's he going to finish? How's he going to get the ark and the people of God to where they need to be? Here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, if you're going to stay faithful until you finish, you can stay faithful until you finish by making worshiping God personal. By making worshiping God personal. And I just added in parentheses, individually. Individually. Watch what the text says. Verse 14, 2 Samuel chapter 6. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly tunic. So David and all Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with much shouting and blowing of trumpets. But as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. The text says that David not only blessed God and worshiped the Lord after they took six steps, but he is worshiping God all the journey. He worships the Lord as he makes his way into Jerusalem with the ark. Now, remember, I told you it was approximately 10 miles or 25,000 steps from Obed-Edom's house to Jerusalem. David is faithful. They are doing what God has called them to do, the way God has told them to do it. And they get here and they worship the Lord. And here's basically what David says. David says, if no one else is going to worship God, I'm going to worship God. Matter of fact, let me share this with you. Before the people worship God corporately, they watch David worship God personally. Let me just put according to me and stop there for a second. Maybe the reason the folk around you don't worship like they should is because they don't see the worship of God in you. You can't have children who worship God when they don't see mama and daddy worshiping God. There needs to be a holy example set around those who we say we love to show them that we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Text says he worshiped. Now, we see later on in verse 16 that his wife, Michal, got upset. But here's what we know, and I'll talk more about her in the coming weeks. David didn't worship for her approval. David didn't worship for the palace. David didn't worship for appearance. David didn't worship to maintain his dignity. David worshiped God, and he worshiped him personally. David understood that his relationship with the Lord, while as king he represented the people, he had to have a personal relationship with the Lord. Listen, faithfulness at the finish line requires personal devotion, not public approval. If your worship depends on who's watching, it will fade when criticism comes. Let me see if I can knock on somebody's door. You ought not have to get to a place where you just can't hold your peace before you give God some praise. You ought not to have to explain a holy outburst with, "I just couldn't help myself." There ought to be a conscientious decision on your part to give God the praise that he so richly deserves. That I'm not waiting for him to do anything else. I don't need him to do anything else, because when I think of the goodness of Jesus. Matter of fact, we're so busy focusing on what we are feeling in the midst of what we're going through that we don't thank God for what he has already brought us through. Just the lack of gratitude. Complaining. Old folks used to say, crying hungry with a loaf of bread under your arm. Asking for meat when you already have manna. God says you got to learn how to finish faithful. And you must recognize that your worship of the Lord is between you and God. Psalm 34 verse 3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Magnify the Lord with me. I wonder how much praise would go on if somebody was imitating your praise. How much worship would really go on? I know, because some of y'all, "Well, you know, Pastor, I'm quiet. I'm reserved. I'm more cognitive in my worship." And that sounds good. Except there are other places in life you're not all reserved. Right? And your cognition ebbs and your emotions flow. And God says, if you're going to worship me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, that means everything needs to be given to me. You can't give more to a team on the field than you give to the Lord. You can't give more to a family member than you give to the Lord. You can't give more to your anger than you give to the Lord. Look at Joshua 24, verse 15. "But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors that your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Here's the second thing. If you're going to stay faithful until you finish, number two, you can stay faithful until you finish by worshiping God passionately. Passionately. And when we talk about passionate worship, we're talking about intensely. Intensely. He says, not only should you worship God personally, but there ought to be some passion. There ought to be some fire in your worship. Watch what the text says. "And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod." Now, this time, the ark comes with dancing. Before, when he started the journey, it came with death. Now he comes with dancing, and the text says that David danced with all his might, wearing a priestly tunic. The word Therefore, dance means to karar, means to whirl about. It means to just dance, somebody would say, like nobody's watching, singing like nobody's listening. He says that David danced with a might. David danced with a force. David danced in a way that literally showed his enthusiasm to the Lord. Now, there are some who mistakenly quote this verse and they say David danced out of his clothes. As if David danced so his clothes just all fell off. And that's not an accurate exegeting of this word or this text. David didn't dance his clothes off. David danced his clothes open. Now, somebody said, what's the difference? Well, you got to remember the attire of men during that time. They would wear layers, and David danced in such a way that his clothing began to fly open. Let me see if I can make it plain for somebody. Women, y'all know what a wrap dress is. And when you wear a wrap dress and you wrap it and you tie it, you want to make sure you stand in the proper direction of the wind. Because if you're wearing a wrap dress and you are downwind, that wrap dress will open and some things meant to be private might become slightly public. Do I need to make it plainer? Did y'all get that? Oh, okay. Okay. I just want to make sure. And so the text says that David began to dance and his clothes came open. David gave us an ocular demonstration of the intensity that ought to mark your worship of God. Listen, Super Bowl is coming up, and fans will be at the championship game. There will be Super Bowl watch parties all across the world. Nobody will have to teach the fans how to shout for their team. There will be no exercises on how to celebrate your team scoring a touchdown. There will be nobody having to prompt them. Now, stand up, sit down. How many of y'all come to give the New England Patriots some praise? How many of y'all come to give the Seattle? Nobody's going to have to walk folk through that. Because there's a commitment that they have to their team. And you know what else I noticed about that? Maybe you go to the game, folk who don't even know each other celebrate with each other. Folk that wouldn't talk to each other outside of the stadium, in the stadium, will high five one another and hug one another and scream with one another for their team. And David reminds us that we've got to remember what the Lord has done. See, David is worshiping God. And remember, he's got to remember where the Lord has brought him from. When his own daddy didn't think he was worthy to be anointed as the king, and the oil wouldn't flow on any of his brothers. And the prophet says, do you have any other children? He says, well, I just got one more. He's the runt of the litter. He out there taking care of the flock. And the Bible says he goes to get the one that was not chosen. And God says, that's who I have chosen. Boy, I wish I had time to talk about the blessing of being chosen by God. Because there's somebody in here you can celebrate right now that when other folks said no, God said yes. See, when your worship is passionless, it really reveals forgetfulness and not maturity. It really reveals that you have forgotten how far the Lord has brought you. Now, we was talking the other day, and I was reminiscing on, you know, how you, when you're young and you were poor, you really didn't know you were poor. Right? It's just happy, you know. And one of the things that we talk about was, you know, the meals that you made on Vienna sausage and and Spam. You know, that Spam was good eating back then, man. And fried bologna sandwich. Some of y'all are like, I don't eat bologna now, but man, that fried bologna and get that bubble in the middle and cut the, Lord have mercy. Don't put it on no toast with a little bit of mustard. You understand what I'm saying? And you use that reusable Cool Whip bowl that still has some stains in it from the spaghetti sauce that you put in, and you eat cereal out of it. Come on, somebody help me in here. Oh, now you can eat what you want to eat, where you want to eat. And oh, my, back in the day. And it's like you have forgotten where the Lord has brought you from. When you remember God's mercy, his faithfulness, and grace, passion follows. And staying faithful means refusing to let time turn your praise into routine. I'm not just going through the motions. I'm grateful for where God has brought me from and what he's doing right now and where he's taking me in my tomorrow. Look at Psalm 150, verse 6. Let's read it together. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Which means if you are exhaling and inhaling right now, you have breath. And because you have breath, you ought to give God some praise. Now, you may not run like some folk. You may not holler like some folk. But you ought to show some signs that God has been good to you. Look at Romans 12, 11. Let's read it together from the New Living Translation. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you can stay faithful until you finish by worshiping God purposely. By worshiping God purposely. And here we're talking about intentionally. That you are intentionally worshiping God. Now, here's what I need you to understand about intentional worship. Intentional worship is not event-driven, it's lifestyle-driven. If your best worship and your most extensive worship is done on Sunday for an hour and 15 minutes or so, then I am here to tell you your worship is not acceptable to God. Because you've got another 165 hours plus during the week, and pick out the time that you are awake. What kind of worship are you giving God? Can I tell you the misdirection and misdefinition that we have received of worship? We think worship is how we shout on Sunday, how we run on Sunday, and we don't realize that worship is how we live every day of our lives. Watch what the text says, verse 17. 2 Samuel chapter 6, they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the special tent David had prepared for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the special tent David had prepared for it. David was intentional about making a place for the ark. He made a place for God, and he knew that making a place for that which represented God could not happen accidentally. Here's why. If you create space for God accidentally, your worship of God will not be consistent. He says you've got to be intentional. Everybody say intentional. About worshiping God. You got to be intentional about keeping God first in your life. You don't make him first occasionally and periodically, because if you do that, you'll have ups and downs in your walk with God. He says, no, you got to be intentional. Every morning, you got to be intentional. Every evening, you got to be intentional. Don't care what comes. I've got to be intentional about making a place for God in my life. And the text says David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. So here's a question I want to ask you today. Have you reserved a place of worship for God? Not a geographical location, but have you reserved a place in your heart for God? Is that a place that you periodically go by, or is it a place that you intentionally seek out? See, to stay faithful, you must recognize that worshiping God is essential. As a matter of fact, I submit to you that David's failure to follow God's instructions at the outset was because he had not made worship his priority. He went with 30,000 soldiers because he thought he had to be a warring king to get the ark back. And God says, in order for you to get it back, you got to be a worshiping king. My brothers and my sisters, God says to each one of us, you've got to be a worshiper who worships personally, who worships passionately. You have to be a person who worships purposefully. See, faithfulness is not just about how you start. It's about how you finish. I can't tell you how many people have started this Christian life that I've seen who were like sparklers. They burned bright at the beginning, but the flame quickly faded away. That's why when we talk about the race, not going to the swift or the strong, but to the one who endures to the end, can you worship and your worship be consistent? David stayed faithful because his worship was personal. David stayed faithful because his worship was passionate. David stayed faithful because his worship was purposeful. And somebody, you need to realize that your worship, your daily communion with God must be personal. It must be passionate, and you must do it on purpose. And if you're going to finish well, you need to make that commitment. Now, somebody said, "We mean finish well. You mean finish my life well?" No, I mean finishing the seasons of your life well. Right? I'm not talking about when you die and the old folk would say, "Stick your sword in the sands of time and study war no more." No, I'm just talking about day-to-day living. To be able to walk day-to-day with God. To walk as a victor and not as a victim. Because you are encouraged in the worship. Somebody said, how am I encouraged in the worship? Because when I worship, I remind myself of who God is, and I remind myself of who I am not. I remind myself that I've got somebody bigger than I am to help me handle life's problems. I got somewhere I can go. I got a rock I can go to and lean on and cry on. I remind myself that I am not God, and I remind myself of who is God. And so when you think about worship, and you think about worship as a lifestyle, here's what I want you to understand. Worship is not for the applause of people. Worship is not to have the claps of people. It is for the approval of God. You don't worship to be seen. You worship God because he is worthy. So keep praising God even when the claps can no longer be heard. Keep worshiping even when others criticize you. Keep obeying even when other people quit, because faithfulness is not proved at the starting line. It's revealed at the finish line. And if you stay faithful, God will meet you there. He's a faithful God, and you need to be a faithful servant. That's why the old song says, I have decided to make Jesus my choice. I have decided to make Jesus my choice. No turning back. No turning back. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, but the world behind me. Cross before me, but the world behind me. The cross before me, but the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. I want to run this race. And David gives us such a wonderful model of what it means to be a worshiper. I'll be honest with you. I shared this with some people this past week. My great desire in life, maybe my greatest desire, is to hear the Lord say about me what he said about David. He's a man after God's own heart. Listen, I can't be perfect. That ship has sailed a long time ago. I can't be a man that has no mistakes and has no past. Gone. But I want to be a man after God's own heart. And I believe one of the main reasons God calls David a man after his own heart is because David was a worshiper who worshiped God, honored God to the best of his ability at every space in his life. My brothers and sisters, here's my prayer for you. My prayer for you is that as you run the race of life, you would shift your focus and stop focusing on yourself. Stop focusing on other people. And start focusing on God and how to live in a way that pleases him. And here's what I need you to know. Other folk will get upset and they're going to get mad. But ultimately, you know what you want to hear at the end of the journey? You want to hear God say, well done. Good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. I thank you for your word. God, give us the focus so that we can worship you individually. We can worship you intensely, and we can worship you intentionally. God, help us to see that worship is not a show that we put on Sunday. It's not a fanfare of us being able to leave with an emotional high talking about, boy, didn't we have church? But help us to see that worship in its truest biblical sense is intended not to help us to have good church, but to strengthen us to be the church that you have called us to be. God, where our prayers fall short, we ask you to make up the difference. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Those of you who can, those of you who will, praise God. If you stand on your feet, those of you who are watching right now, wherever you are, I want to encourage you today to make a commitment to God. And if you've already made a commitment, to renew your commitment to the Lord. If you have driven a vehicle for any length of time, especially in the Houston metropolitan area, we're known for some bad potholes. Bad potholes. And bad potholes will throw your front end out of alignment. And every now and then you've got to go to the shop and get your front end realigned. Well, my brothers and sisters, in life, we run up against some spiritual potholes. And you got to learn how to realign your life. And don't wait till you start going crooked to go in and get it realigned. No, go and keep it aligned. And worship helps keep you aligned. If you're here today and you've never asked the Lord into your life, upstairs or down to my left or to my right, I want to extend to you an opportunity, an invitation to come. Those of you who are watching wherever you are, there's a QR code on the screen, and it's a quick link. It will take you to a number of options if you want to ask Jesus Christ into your life and pray the prayer of salvation. I will lead you through that prayer of salvation. If you want to unite with our church, you're welcome to do that and become part of the I Hope Church family or our Good Hope Church family here in Houston. If you'd like special prayer, you can indicate that, or you can indicate it in the chat. It's the first Sunday. Gladiators are on the post. And so if you want somebody to pray with you right now, maybe you're dealing with something, maybe you're going through something, wrestling with something, and the Holy Spirit has convicted you and you want somebody to touch and agree with you and pray with you, indicate that in the chat and a link will be sent to you. And you can pray face to face online in a Zoom chat room privately with a person. Wherever you are and whatever your need, the wonderful thing about God is He will meet you where you are, but praise God, He won't leave you there. He'll make something beautiful out of your life. So as we sing a song of invitation, come on and come. Just say yes. Just say yes. And we'll rejoice when you come.
When I worship, when I lift up my hands, I acknowledge I am yours to come and I surrender everything that I am. When I worship, when I worship, when I worship, when I bow at your feet, revelation of your glory I see. Not my way, Lord, but your will I seek. When I worship, when I worship, it's not for the things that you do, not the trials you brought me through, not because you're so faithful and true. When I worship, it's just because I love you.
You may be seated.
Just because of you, yes I do,
yes I do,
yes I do,
yes I do.
It's just because I love you.
Father, we thank you now as we continue to worship you and our giving. We pray that our gifts will accurately reflect our love for you. For you said where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So we ask you to give as God, you have blessed us. And may our giving be a blessing to others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let me see. Okay, this is No Excuse Sunday. It's No Excuse Sunday. Man, y'all aren't laughing or nothing today. Some of y'all taking a